At this point, if you are still communicable,
that's crazy.
That means got to be if his cold is still going, right?
No, because a lot of those symptoms are actually post infection. Infectionability.
Honestly, if after 16 days I'm still contagious, then this thing is going to sweep the world. Scotch. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 239 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast, Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth and I'm diseased.
I'm Adam and I'm from the past.
I'm Sam and I'm ready for 2020.
And this is a show where we talk about life, business, and working in the games industry. Today is New Year's Eve, 2019. Yes. We are recording this on the day before New Year. The
final throes of 2019.
Yes. Before we get started, we have a warning. Anything can happen on this show. We're going to swear, so you can just deal with that. We'd also like to thank our recurring supporters over at moneygrab.bscotch.net for giving us money. Thanks. We appreciate that. And also, I need to say, I looked up if 239 is a prime number because Retro Banana Man pointed out in the questions from before, yes, this is a prime number. However, when I Googled it, I got some extra information about the number 239.
Such as?
You ready for this shit?
Yeah.
Is it like a super prime?
239 is a Sophie Germain prime. And a Newman Shanks Williams prime.
Wow.
It is an Eisenstein prime with no imaginary part and real part of the form 3n-1 with no exponentiation applied.
This is beautiful.
It's also a happy number.
It's a happy number?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means, but I...
Is that an actual math term or is that like
I think that's a math term.
I feel like mathematicians have just turned numbers into Pokemon, essentially.
Yeah.
Different types. They have different strengths.
Gotta catch them all.
Yep.
239 is a happy number, so...
And depending on how you mix them, you get different kinds of outcomes.
Yeah, that's true. You can breed them.
And you can transform them in interesting ways if you just apply the right, you know, crystals, I guess, or whatever.
Yep. Now, the one thing that most mathematicians won't tell you is that zero is the strongest type of Pokemon number.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I mean, without a doubt.
It can destroy everything.
It can't be divided. It explodes everything. And if you multiply anything, it just explodes that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it either nukes things and turns them into also zero.
Or it's completely ineffective.
Or it's completely ineffective or it explodes them and turns them into undefined.
It's basically the overpowered.
There's nothing scarier than being turned into, I don't even know
what. You don't even know what.
Maybe it's more like it's like the sneak attack ninja number, right? Because like if you add it to stuff, what's happening?
Nothing's happening.
It's just kind of back there, lurking.
You're like, this is fine.
Did I add? I thought I added that. And Zero's like, don't worry about it. If you multiply it, though, boom, it just shanks him right in the kidneys.
And it's gone forever.
So, you never 2020 it has the most zeros in it of the next, you know, decade coming up here. So
that's true.
It's exciting.
That's true.
Year.
Brace yourself. Zero's coming. I'd also like to address that I have now been sick for 16 days.
Ugh.
So about 18 days ago, I thought to myself, I haven't been sick in a really long time.
That was your first mistake.
I thought, it's been so long since I've been sick that I actually can't even remember the last time that I was sick. This is great. Like,
what does it feel like?
I'm doing so good. And I was like, I was lifting. I started my quest for gains.
Yeah.
And then just boom, all of a sudden, throat started hurting so bad I couldn't sleep for several days. Super sleep deprived. And then I was like, okay, no problem. It's just a sore throat. I'll just do what I can, right? So I'm down in NyQuils and DayQuils and
being quills. Quarantined.
You're basically quarantined. It's like
so now you're socially isolated.
Socially isolated, working from home.
Well, it's like Bane, right? Because he's like plugged up with all sorts of chemicals too. So if he's like, oh, I need to be excited now, and he hits a particular button. If he needs to go to bed now, I'm assuming he's got one of those, you know, on his back.
I'm now mediating all of my moods and times with drugs. and then 4 days go by. And I still can't swallow and it hurts like hell.
And you're like,
I should go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor and they're like, I don't know. They gave me a steroid shot, which is great. And I kind of am now thinking like, why don't we just do this all the time?
It actually weakens your immune system. It's the crazy part.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
No, well, maybe that's why.
But it makes you sick. But it makes you feel amazing.
So So that day I was just like, oh, yeah. And I was programming and doing all kinds of stuff. And then it wore off and then my throat hurt again.
Yep.
So then over the next few days, I had fever. So it just turned like the sore throat stopped, just turned into a fever. Ugh. Have fever. And then I was like, no problem. Once this fever's gone, I'm good.
Because the fever burns it out, right?
I'm burning it
out. Let's get hot.
Fever subsides, boom, immediately the worst head cold I've ever had. I've gone through 12 boxes of Kleenex. Like, that's a
– it's a record.
Like, I went through so many Kleenexes that we actually overfilled our trash can that we have to like take out.
That's
to
like a 20-liter,
yeah,
one of those, yeah, big bags.
Yeah. So, and it's still going.
Have you just been putting chapstick on your nose at this point, I assume?
Yeah, I just have a bowl of just like a bucket of Vaseline at home. I just dunk my head in there.
It's one of the things that hours. Being like having a cold sucks on like every dimension, but one of the things I hate, not the most, but just a thing that I really hate about it is like the side effect of having a chapped nose.
Yep.
You know,
yeah. Like, chafing your nostrils.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's the worst. And I think one of the truly terrible things about a cold is that it's not severe enough that anybody truly cares.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's
like, true. You feel like absolute garbage, but it's definitely not life-threatening.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable. And therefore, you're generally expected to just kind of carry on as normal. Of course, infecting everyone around you and everything else, but you get no sympathy points for having a cold.
Yeah.
So
yeah, people are like, wow, last year you had that cold.
Wow, that was rough for you.
You know, have you mentally recovered from that? Are you doing okay? You know?
No, I actually haven't. I've not recovered mentally from that.
Although people even do that with the flu, even though the flu can kill you.
I mean, that's all true.
Just like, whatever, it's just the flu.
So after my 30th year celebration and hangover, I was reminded from my chemotherapy days that having a bad hangover literally feels exactly like getting chemo.
That's because, like in both cases, you've been poisoned.
Very bad. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think about this sometimes because it's the same thing with this cold, right? Where some of these – basically the symptoms you're experiencing in this case for an ongoing duration, the thing you're missing out on is the dread of probably dying, right?
Yeah, that's the thing I feel like I'm missing.
Yeah, you're missing that. But every other piece of it, you got it. You know, you got like straight up terrible flu symptoms. But apparently you don't have the flu.
Yeah, I got tested for that. I got tested for strep throat. They're like, no, there's nothing wrong with you.
Calls me false negative.
I am not fine.
Yeah.
Those are pretty high false negative rates. So
apparently this year the flu has been a bit wily.
It's a
squirrely flu and it's escaped.
Yeah, I think I got infected with the squirrel flu.
Yeah, because it keeps
the squirrel flu.
I think it's like a shapeshifter, right? Like it starts as what you think is a strep throat, and then it turns into a fever, and then it turns into a cough.
I'm just hoping to God that this hour in this podcast room,
You guys are just locked in a hermetically sealed chamber.
At this point, if you are still communicable,
that's crazy,
fucking crazy.
That means it's got to be if his cold is still going, right?
No, because a lot of those symptoms are actually post-infection. Infectionability.
Honestly, if after 16 days I'm still contagious, then this thing is going to sweep the world. this is like a Plague Inc. sort of level. True,
yeah. Although you say that, but your wife got no symptoms at all.
She's been right next to me the whole time.
That's very kind.
No problem. And actually, our dad also has this.
But separately. Up in Iowa.
Yeah. And that's it. So I guess it's like it's everywhere. You can't escape it.
My problem with it.
Because your dog was also sick. Was she sick?
Well, it might be dog flu.
Did you get the dog flu?
Yeah, she was sick a couple days before me. So it might be dog flu. And probably is leaping from dog to human. That's probably why it's so severe, right? Because when it does that.
But that's probably why Sampa didn't get it, because it was probably a pretty hard jump to make, you know? So like.
It just wouldn't.
It just like.
It
just
cross everything.
It was just a little
probability
of it. It
only goes from dog to person.
And only to one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Us weak people.
Yeah.
So that's happening. Now, Sam, you just got back from Mexico.
Yeah.
That's cool. And you have a story?
Well, the story is not Mexico related.
But, okay.
I did have a very good time. I literally just read for 5 days.
Nice.
And ate a bunch of food. That was my life.
Isn't it great how, like, you don't really need to go to Mexico to do that, but it does help.
For some reason, it really does help.
Was it a beach vacation?
It's a beach vacation.
Yeah, I think that's the trick. It's like I haven't had one of those in a long time, but there's something like, they're so soothing.
Yeah, you're just like.
The waves coming in.
And also, there's nothing going on.
There's nothing going on.
Literally nothing. So at any point, we're just like, okay, you'd be like, you want to get some food? Go get a taco?
Yeah.
Just go get one.
And just go get one. Who cares? There's nothing going on.
So it was a fantastic couple of days. I was with my wife's family. So always a good time with them. And then the story, though, is from my wife in particular, which is on my 30th birthday, we were out to dinner and she, with a flourish, showed this ring box. And I was like, are you proposing to me right now? Is this happening?
Again?
And she gave me this ring for my 30th birthday, which I was super excited about. But then she revealed, because I was like, how did you know the size of my finger? Because it goes on my middle finger specifically on my right hand. And then she revealed that late at night.
I was gonna guess like while you were sleeping.
So while I was sleeping, she used a piece of floss, okay, and tried to wrap it around my little finger and then use that as sort of the gauge for how big my finger was. The problem was, of course, that I'm a human being, so I kind of woke up during it. But in my mind, so I actually dreamed about this. And in my dream, for some reason, Diana was wrapping her hair around my middle finger. And I thought it was just – I was like, that didn't happen because
that's weird.
That's the weirdest thing to ever happen to someone while they're sleeping. But apparently it freaking did.
Dreams do that though, right? Because like I think your brain kind of picks up like something is happening. And your dream is like – your brain is like,
well,
I'll just –
it's when you wake up a little bit because like, my wife somehow like will just wake up a little bit like just constantly throughout the night. So if I'm like reading for another couple hours or something, they're like right before I go to bed, I roll over. Then Jenny just like says something to me like as if she's conscious and awake. Uh-huh. And then has absolutely no memory that happened. But those are the kinds of like when it's just like it's like just awake enough to like
slip in,
acknowledge that reality kind of exists. But I think it's still happening sort of in the dream world, you know. So it's like it's being incorporated.
Well, it was funny because it was ended up being it was a very fun birthday surprise in terms of the gift, but it was doubly fun because it came with this sort of back cascading realization of that dream I had was real, which was so fun. So yeah, the middle story.
And actually, in real life, she could have used a piece of hair. You know,
she could have,
because that's what floss is.
Yeah. Also, her hair's everywhere.
Yeah, so you could find it anywhere.
I don't know how she has any on her head. It's just shit constantly.
This is weird.
That's how it happens. All right. Now we also need to talk about our 2019 year in review.
Yeah.
Before we do that, I have one cool quote that I was thinking about.
Hit me.
I was reading about knives.
I'm even more excited for this quote.
Okay. And there's that quote that says, "It's more dangerous to cut with a dull knife than a sharp one."
Is this a quote or just a fact?
Well, it's a well-known like saying. Not like an exact quote, but it's a saying among chefs.
It's just a fact.
Yeah. And it's more dangerous to cut with a dull knife than a sharp one because you have to put more force into it and that causes accidents, right? Which is a perfect allegory.
It's about heroics.
Yeah. It's a perfect allegory for the lessons that we've learned this year about – really investing in your tools and keeping them sharp, because anytime you have to do something, anytime you're exerting force on whatever it is that you're trying to do, you will screw it up. And that's how you lose a finger.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
So that's
a good 2019 in review sort of encapsulation.
Yeah. Yep. Sharp your dang knives.
Yep. Now, 2019.
We hit the grindstone.
This was 2019. What was the idea behind 2019? It was like get on the grind.
It was just a grind.
We knew what we had to do. It was just get a bunch of stuff done. What it turned into, I think, more so on the knife train.
We sharpened all our knives.
Use the grindstone to sharpen all your knives.
Yeah. We are entering 2020 as a honed blade of a studio.
Yes. So let's talk about all the different things that happened in 2019. So the big one, Level had launched into early access in April because Mario Maker just completely dropped a nuke onto our studio.
Yep. Messed up our plans.
Yeah. So we started working on Levelhead in January of 2018, basically saying, hey, there's a huge hole in the market because people love Mario Maker and it's not on the Switch or anywhere else. And then all of a sudden this year, it was going to be on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. But still nowhere else.
Still nowhere else. And it still is nowhere else. We still got that. And we had recently converted into DevOps and we had started a QA program. And so we were actually able to shift all of our plans and get flipped into over 4 weeks.
4 weeks we went into alpha.
We went into alpha, and then 4 weeks later,
yep,
we were in early access launch.
Yeah. And that launch weekend was totally chill.
It was totally
fine.
Nothing
was broken.
Yep. Yeah, we weren't putting out fires. We weren't emergency hot fixing crashes out of the game. We actually only had one crash during all of the alpha test.
Yeah.
Even. So all in all, it was very smooth. Felt very good. So another big thing this year, we converted to DevOps and we really got our QA testing procedures up to date, which has helped us a lot. And part of that was our automatic deployment pipeline called the Game Pipe, which Adam and Scher collaborated on putting together. And that allowed us to do weekly patches for Levelhead.
So we did.
And that was the first, I think, 10 patches.
Something like that.
Was every week we had a new content patch or bug fix or whatever. Over time, we've stretched that out to 2 weeks, and now we're on like a roughly 4 week or 5 week patch cycle, just because we're now on big stuff that we want to do.
And it's also been the holiday season, which threw wrenches in every plan.
You can't
possible.
Have a 2 week patch cycle because everyone's gone every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's how it works during the
holiday. Yeah, this time of year is pretty terrible for getting things done, but we've been doing okay still. Actually,
oh yeah.
So then as part of the Levelhead early access stuff, we've been just constantly working on the game. And we've also been working with other companies trying to figure out like how to make the game succeed at launch. And a big part of that is Xbox Game Pass. So Levelhead's going to be coming to that. So we worked that deal out, which was – this was kind of like our year of actually being open to business deals.
Yeah, which is kind of super fun, thing. Actually, in review. I very much enjoyed it. It's a different sort of a tack than being like, we're doing everything ourselves. But yeah, it's very fun once you get into it. And especially, of course, when you have a product that you really believe in and then that you can point to other people being super jazzed about, which is the nice thing about early access. It's made it easy and fun, I think, instead of not super stressful, which has been great.
Yeah. And because of that, so we've decided that we're going to sim ship on all platforms. So that'll be Steam, which we're aiming for PC and Mac, iOS, Android, Xbox Game Pass, and
Windows
Nintendo Switch.
Store too.
What's that?
And the Windows Store.
And the Windows Store,
which is just part of
it's
the
part of the Game
part
Pass.
Of the Game Pass deal.
Yeah. So it'll be on PC and Xbox versions of Game Pass.
Yeah. And we still have some discussions about exact platform things in the works. Yep. So we don't know 100% for sure that this is the final list, nor even if it is the final list, exactly
how
that means and how.
This is the current aim.
Yep. Yeah.
And because we're trying to be more conscious of like working with business partners and stuff, then depending on what happens, you know, things may shift around. But we'll have more information on that later. We got over at IndieDB, we got the community's the community vote for 6th overall out of the top 100 indie games of 2019.
Yeah, so made in the top 10 for 2019.
Yep. And we also awesome. Got the editor's choice for community.
Which I think, frankly, yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm the most proud of this year is us stepping up our community management game. Mm-hmm. We've got like players listed in patch notes, our feedback system. It allows our players to constantly give us insights about how they feel about the game. We've got our Discord. We've got our team of excellent
and
moderators.
Our Discord is so friendly. If you haven't been in there yet.
It's so good.
Get in
it's
there.
Lovely. I made the mistake of going into random other Discord.
Shouldn't have done that.
For a YouTuber I was looking into, and I was like, this is a high
level like
villainy.
Yeah. Yeah, and so our, you know, I think our moderators and our community paragons in particular have done a great job of just continually reinforcing the positive atmosphere.
Yeah, and just demonstrating what good behavior looks like.
Yeah, and then we also have the podcast, we have the Ballyhoos, and we've got our community spotlights and then our developer blogs. So one of the things we want to do this year is just have a constant stream of communication, you know, with the community. And I think we did.
I think we did. Yeah, I think we got that down. It's been super fun.
Also, PAX Dev, we went for the first time.
Yeah. So that we talked a bit about that when it happened. Yeah. But again, for any other devs who are interested in meeting other people and doing business stuff, I think it's one of our favorite ones that we've been to.
Actually. Yeah, it was.
So this is a couple days before PAX West. We met the writers from Borderlands and some other people on the Borderlands team. Just met a bunch of really cool people over there, which was tons of fun.
I think everything about it was better than everything about GDC.
Oh, 100%.
We even got to have our business meetings and the whole works because still everybody was there for PAX.
Yep.
So yeah, I think we got to meet with all of our business partners.
We did, correct.
Every single one. Yep. And didn't have to deal with being in San Francisco for GDC. So.
And we did the Microsoft event there. So we were invited to showcase at Microsoft's building, which was crazy because they have many buildings. So it turns out there's just a whole city. It's just Microsoft.
Their campus is just wild.
It's wild.
I think they have like 80,000 employees.
Yeah, it's always weird coming from
It's eight times the size of the city that we grew up in.
Yeah.
Is their corporate campus.
Yeah.
It is wild.
So that was it's always eye-opening going and seeing stuff at that scale. Because I feel like
if you're operating at that scale, you have to be okay with there being a lot of waste.
Oh yeah.
There's
no way around it.
Like it has to be the case that 1 out of 10 people who you talk to is like, yeah, I don't really know what's going on.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like with that many people, there's gotta be just so many things falling through the cracks.
But you see the incredible stuff that they're able to do, right? Because it's like the
system. Well, yeah, with that many people, you've got a lot of brute force. Yeah.
Well, and systems, right? Because the only way you could possibly succeed at that scale is by having really robust systems in place so that, in effect, everybody becomes a robot.
Or enough people that you can just push past it.
Yeah, so
can you throw people at it, a problem if you have bad systems?
Well, most game studios would say yes.
I mean, Boeing would say almost yes. following any of the news on them. But yeah, so I think it's a very interesting experience overall going to PAX Dev. I'm very much looking forward to that next year. And yep. As far as other conventions that we're going to, I guess we'll get to that in the 2020
yeah.
preview.
So I'm going to be giving two talks at GDC this upcoming March.
Yep, March.
March. So one will be about forgiveness mechanics in game design, and one will be about DevOps. And it's like a storytelling of like how our studio used to operate and then how we used DevOps principles to turn into
– They're both going to be really good talks.
Yeah. I hope so.
My only frustration with these, as always, is they're going to get shown to whoever comes to the talk session at GDC and then nobody else.
Yeah, my goal this year is to do a good enough job that they end up on YouTube.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I think last time I kind of missed the mark and it didn't meet the this should go up on YouTube threshold, which I assume they actually do just based on probably like the ratings or reviews from the attendees. Yeah. So I'm going to give it my all this time and really like try to just nail this thing.
That'd be good.
So we also shut down the merch store.
Oh, yeah. Turned off the merch store.
Yeah, I gave up on that.
Meh. We still got some merch here.
We still have boxes of merch.
We have shirts for Levelhead ready to go. So our plan is to do some one-off stuff in the future.
We'll do limited runs. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to just have some shirts around that we could just give out and stuff.
That's always fun.
But, you know, running the merch store, I think it was especially odd because most of our players are still from mobile through Crashlands and stuff. And mobile players have a tendency to be a bit less engaged with the community and with everything else because you can't it's hard to type on a touch screen.
Yeah.
And so because of that, then it's also harder to sell merch and develop that kind of stuff. And so the merch store was always kind of, it never hit the marks that we wanted it to hit.
No, it really didn't. It was mostly actually podcast listeners that were engaging with it. And our podcast audience just isn't big enough to support a store, really.
Yeah.
That said, though, we did cross the 500,000 podcast listens this year as well.
Pretty wild.
That's pretty good.
It's 500,000 hours.
Yep.
Yeah. And so my hope is that with the full launch of Levelhead, we bump up our podcast audience
maybe like
by a few hundred people.
Yeah. Watch out.
Well, honestly, the funnel is very narrow, especially because on consoles we can't link out.
No, but we still can't link out. We can still have a Rumpus only achievement. Even if it's just visit our podcast page or whatever, right?
I dig it.
If that's all we did.
We're going to find some way to make sure find people some way know to
make people
it
do it.
Yeah.
Give you the coffee with butterscotch avatar or Levelhead or something. Yep. Yeah, we'll figure something out. We'll get it. It'll happen. So what else happened in 2019? We had our second annual Shenanicon.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun. Yeah. We also had our third annual Shenana Jam.
During which we built a fucking MMO.
We built an MMO in a weekend.
Fight me. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. It was it met what I believe was probably the minimum standard possible for
– All I know is we had like 70 –
a shared world and an arbitrary number of people can get
it. Yeah, we had like 70 people in there when we turned it on. And it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
It was absolutely hilarious.
We wanted to have enemies. We had a whole big plan, and all those plans fell apart as the realities of building an MMO crept up on us. But we still got enough in there that it was fun to just hang out.
You can still level up. You can still fight each other.
Yeah, I loved the experience of that thing.
Yeah, it was fun. So we also got Crashlands published by a publisher.
Oh, yeah.
On mobile. Mm-hmm. So we worked with Bending Spoons to bring Crashlands into the PlayOnd
subscription service.
So that's been interesting. It's been interesting working with another company like this and integrating their SDK and all that stuff and
negotiating a business deal.
I mean, that was a good first sort of bigger business deal for us in terms of, you know, taking one of our flagship product, doing something with it, but having that product not be the one that's so critical to our success that if everything sort of exploded, that it'd be terrible. So that was a really good, I'm really glad we did that and decided to do that, which was very far out of our normal comfort zone.
Yeah.
For something like this. So.
Well, especially because a lot of it was basically negotiating what rights do we give up in exchange for what, right? But that meant us giving up rights, which is not something
we used to just unilaterally be like, no.
Oh yeah, no matter how good the deal was,
we reserve every right.
Yeah,
but of course, ignoring the fact that we were already selling the game through third party companies.
Yep. Yeah, we don't really have any rights anyway.
Yeah, whether it's Valve or Apple or Google or whoever,
we have the right to have 30% of our revenue taken.
Yeah, so I think we finally transitioned from like believing that we were an independent studio to accepting, like, okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
We are literally fully dependent on the good graces of other people for our success.
No man is an island.
Yeah. And we should maybe just accept that and figure out how to actually, you know, expand our network and, mm-hmm. and do better in that area. So that was I think that was a good mental shift for us.
Definitely.
And it really was because Bending Spoons approached us about this, that like that we started thinking in those terms. And that actually is probably what made us more open to the possibility of something like Xbox Game Pass and stuff like that. So
it was the gateway drug for all of our business deals.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think so far the only thing that's been a little bit weird about that is now every now and then somebody comes in and like, how come Crash Notes says Bending Spoons on, on the Play Store?
Yeah, otherwise it's been good.
And we just link them to the blog post about it and they're like, oh, okay. And then they just go on with their day and it's fine.
Yeah, we've had nobody upset by it, which is good because it wouldn't make sense to be upset by it.
Correct. So. Yeah, because it affects nothing.
Yeah.
Last but not least, we, of course, hired Sampada to take on business stuff. So we have a full-time business.
Yeah, it was back in February. Right?
Yeah, business operations manager.
And she's been taking on more and more and more stuff.
Yeah. And we used to do everything that we could between the three of us, which meant that anytime, and even with things like this Bending Spoon stuff, it would mean that like we would default to saying no to pretty much any business stuff because mm-hmm. we just didn't have the bandwidth to deal with it. And because Sampada came on board, we do. And then that's allowed us to sort of be able to think outside of our normal ways of operating.
Yeah. And beyond that, even with regard to the community and that sort of thing, she's taken over the community spotlight, which has been fantastic because it used to take – I mean, it's something between 1 and 3 hours every week that I'd put in something like that, which now I just don't. And so there's been a bunch of things like that of that nature where she's been adding a ton of value and giving us a bunch of time back to focus on making the game, which has been great. So and then speaking of Sure as a year in review, I mean this dude has become a machine
It's been a good year for Sure.
Yeah, he's been incredible. So we actually got through Switch Cert.
Yep.
Right before the break.
Like right the day before.
Which is crazy because the level of complication inside of Level Head and the sort of pain that has brought us.
Yeah, the web features and the social aspect
came
together to make Cert something of a nightmare.
Unbelievably complex.
We can't talk about specifics of it, but it was a lot. Yeah, it was a lot of work to get that thing up.
And Sure's got that going as well as working on the Xbox Cert pipeline right now, which has been super exciting. So it's been a really good year for the whole team, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's opened up – I think going through the console Cert stuff – has opened up a lot of insights for us on how to build our games in the future so that we don't have to struggle so much to get them through Cert later. And just, there's certain things that you don't really think about when you're publishing just on mobile where all you do is you just like publish. And then they go,
or Steam.
And they're like, is it porn? Yeah. And if it's Steam, they're like, that's fine too.
throw it up.
They're like, perfect. That's what we're looking for. Yep. Whereas now we have all these actual like tech requirements that the game has to meet in terms of how it interacts with the device and stuff. And we just never had to deal with that stuff before. So Crashlands on the Switch was a far easier process because the only web stuff was your own cloud saving.
Yep.
And there was no player-to-player interaction and all that kind of stuff. So that's been it's been good, and I think we'll be through Xbox Cert, I don't know.
Eventually.
Hopefully soon, now that we've gone through all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. So last, I want to talk about some Level Head stats.
Yeah, for the year.
Yeah. So overall, we still have a pretty small player base in Level Head because it's only been on Steam. It's only been on PC, and it's been early access, and we don't really get a lot of traffic through the Steam store.
And when we launched the thing, literally zero press took it up.
Yeah. No. So. Yeah. So it's been kind of a rough ride getting it up off the ground. We still think it's going to go on launch, but we still have some pretty cool stats to share about what's happened this year. So for starters, we surpassed 300 reviews on Steam with 96% positive, which I think is
ridiculous.
Pretty fucking good.
Thanks to everyone who reviewed that. And if you haven't,
go do it.
Please go do it. That helps us a lot.
I think we actually had an uptick of people who got the game for Christmas.
Yeah, actually. Because we had new people coming to Discord too. So
yeah, so I noticed that. So that's pretty cool. All right. So of our player base, we've generated 1.55 years of playtime on player-made levels.
Yeah.
We don't actually know how much playtime we've gotten on the campaign.
We don't track that.
We
track it in a trailing 90-day.
30 days.
30 days.
Yeah. So we only know how much playtime the campaign has gotten in the last month.
We're keeping ourselves GDPR safe by storing
data. Yeah, but that data expires, so we have no idea.
That's nuts. So I like to think about the fact that, you know, we're making a medium for people.
Yep.
And so it's as if you invented oil painting for people. And then, you know, in the first 6 months, people put 1.5 years of time into oil painting.
Into painting. Yeah.
It's pretty rad. And looking at other people's
Look, in this case, looking at other people's stuff. So that's super fun. I love that.
So out of that playtime, there have been almost 3.5 million attempts made on player made levels. That includes wins and losses. Mm-hmm. We have
3.5 million. It's crazy.
Yes. In terms of patches, we've deployed 1,300 fixes, 400 features, and 900 improvements. Mm-hmm. So an improvement is basically just like a small
tweak
change to something to make it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. A feature is something that wasn't in the game before
and now is.
And a fix is, of course, something wasn't working as intended.
I think any time we get one of those trolls who calls us lazy, I will just
– We haven't gotten that though,
we should compute summary stats on the actual patch notes page.
That would be fun and fascinating.
Maybe we should
do it, cool. Adam.
Because then they can literally just point to that.
So out of those, let's see, that's like something like 2,800 something changes. So out of those, 355 were changes that were suggested by players who we gave attribution to. And 19 of the 400 features were suggested by players. Mm. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
We have 113 distinct players attributed in the patch notes.
So that's people whose suggested changes actually made it all the way through.
Yeah, 113 distinct people, which is pretty – that's phenomenal community engagement.
Yeah. So as far as the sort of like leaderboard for attributions in the patch notes, Specchio is number one with 42.
In a far first place.
Yeah. Quantum Anomaly and Tim Conceivable are tied for second place at around 20.
Mm-hmm.
M. Smiley is in fourth place, and fifth place is Viral Melon.
Yeah.
So
thank you all for your contributions to this.
Now, we're probably not going to publicly display a leaderboard like this because we don't.
That will encourage probably some
incentives.
Quality over quantity, people. All right. And then overall, we have 61,000 words in the change log, which means we have surpassed the minimum requirement for a novel.
Yeah.
According to National Novel Writing Month standard. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool.
No, to be fair, it took us a whole year to do that.
It did. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, 8 months.
All right. So we have 7,700 player made levels so far, 1,100 time trophies given out, 1,200 daily builds completed. So people who have started and then published a daily build level.
That also means that one out of every seven levels is a daily build level.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Which I think makes that a pretty successful
component. I guess that's pretty cool component. Pretty well,
And it's also the case that if somebody unpublishes a daily build level and reverts back to their workshop, then it no longer is one. And then So there's also that. There has been 48,250,000 exposure bucks spent or tipped on levels.
That is a great economy we got going on there.
48 million.
It's the GDP of Levelhead.
Yeah, that's true.
48 million exposure.
That's crazy.
And then last for the stats, we've got two levels to highlight. One is the most liked level
of 2019.
And this is not in number of likes. This is in the likes per player.
Yeah, the fraction of players who liked it.
And for this, we looked at only at levels that had 30 or more players.
Yeah.
So the most liked level is Big Delivery for Package by Talk Gibberish.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So 38% of the people who played it gave it a like.
They also gave it a favorite.
And favorite. It actually is paired.
Yeah.
Oh, like okay, and favorite ratio, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yep. We also have the most murderous level, which is Just Jump Blaster Challenge by Sleepy Doof.
And that's measured by a failure rate, meaning the number of times you die per second,
which was five for this one. So every 2 seconds, you're dead.
Yeah, which is actually it's probably faster than that because we have a certain buffer where like we don't record deaths if they happen almost instantaneously.
Yeah.
So that people can't sort of like.
So it might be even worse.
It's probably a lot worse. Yeah.
And we'll include the links to those two levels in the podcast description.
Yeah. I think Sammy's still going to put up a blog post.
I'll be doing a little infographic and blog post.
Yeah. So we'll get more. So instead of just the top one, we'll have probably the top five or something. So if you want to, be on the lookout for that. If you're not subscribed actually to our blog, you can via whatever RSS readers and stuff.
Yeah.
So you should definitely do that.
Now, my assumption here is that next year we're going to look back on these numbers and laugh at how small
yeah.
they are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I hope that that's what happens.
Because once we're available on all these different platforms, especially through things like the subscription service of Game Pass.
This is going to be quaint.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
There's going to be baby numbers.
Enjoy the small town vibe of the Levelhead community for now, because it's going to be a bustling metropolis.
Times are changing. Yeah. It's going to feel very different once it goes once it goes to life.
All right. So that's the year in review, 2019. Now it's time to talk about 2020. We will figure out what the tagline of 2020 is shortly, and we have a lot of suggestions for the community, which are fantastic. So first, let's talk about what's going to happen next year.
There's really just exactly one thing, which is we're going to launch Levelhead.
Yep. Yes. Definitely.
We're going to launch Levelhead. When? We can't say.
The guess is at least before halfway through the year.
Yeah.
Hopefully in the first quarter.
Yeah. Our goal is first quarter, but that's actually dependent less on the technical requirements of finishing the game and more on business dealings and cert, because those things just take time. Not because we're doing things necessarily, but because they just take time.
Yeah. So without cert, we literally can't launch it. Mm-hmm. So that has to happen.
Without business deals, it's dumb to launch it.
Yep. So we won't do it.
Yeah.
We won't do it. And then once all those things come together, we still need to give everybody a 6-week heads up to start rolling out ads and to start trying to enlist YouTubers and the whole works.
So there's a lot of dominoes we've got to set up, and we don't even know where the fuck some of those dominoes are. We got to track them down.
And every domino is like a month. Yeah. So that's kind of
that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
So we will be launching it simultaneously on everything that we can. And we believe we have the platforms laid out, but maybe we don't, and we're still working on some other stuff. So we'll just keep on keeping on, and we'll just continue to patch the game.
And we will be launching directly into Japan.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah, for Switch.
Yeah, for Switch. So we got our Sero rating, which is the sort of equivalent of the ESRB over there that you actually have to get a rating for in order to launch there. This is our first time doing that.
Yeah, and so that's actually – we have a Nintendo of America, mm-hmm. and there's Nintendo of Japan.
Correct.
And they're actually separate entities, right? And so Nintendo of Europe also exists, but it weirdly goes hand in hand with Nintendo of America. Mm-hmm. So like everything we do there kind of comes out the same. But Nintendo of Japan, though, is just a separate thing entirely. Yeah.
So we've been working on them for a while.
Yep.
They're the king of Nintendo.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And actually, based on what we know about the kinds of games that do well, Levelhead has a lot of the vibes.
Oh, yeah.
It's very lighthearted and colorful and everything else and kind of goofy.
Yeah.
And apparently, they like that kind of stuff.
And it was funny when we first got – because we didn't actually get our Japanese and Korean translations until – shipped like 6 weeks ago or something, like really, really recently. And I remember when Sure opened it up, we downloaded the translations, we got them. He opened up the game to start checking stuff and make sure it all looked fine, And he was like, this feels legit. There was like,
it feels like
about,
a real video game.
Yeah, there's something about having it in Japanese where you're just like, we've done this,
It just looks so cool.
Pokemon and Mario.
Yeah. There's some legitimizing to it.
Yeah, so that's going to be, it's going to be an exciting year. But one of the most exciting things is we have no fucking idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the post Levelhead question mark.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, there's one thing we do know, which is Levelhead will have multi-select.
Yes, that is true.
I've already got it. I've got it about a third of the way done, and it's gonna be a thing.
Yeah. So no matter what, a little movie clip of it where all you could do was select. Like you couldn't do anything having selected stuff. I already was like, this feels really good.
Yep, it's gonna be real good.
Yeah. So I've got the selecting. I've got the dragging. Now I need to get like the pasting and some other stuff. So that's definitely gonna be in there. Which brings us up to feature parody with Mario Maker.
Yeah.
And so except
for the multiplayer.
The online multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. We got some other really surprises. Either, so. We have a few other surprises that are coming in for the 1.0. They're going to be ridiculous. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. So once Levelhead launches, based on sort of where that lands, we always kind of think about this in terms of three possible outcomes. So there's the terrible case scenario, which is it just doesn't go pretty much at all. As in, like, we make so little revenue off of it that it's as if we did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Or the end effect is that we can't pay for our studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we have enough on the back burner that we've accounted for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that would mean that we would have to immediately pivot into the next thing. And we would have to start working on getting the next thing out the door as quickly as possible. Yeah.
Because the cases of somebody having converting a failed launch into a successful, like, long-term title are very few and far between.
Yeah. Then there's the excellent case, which is that the game back pays for its own development and then continue, and then makes enough money that it pays for even more than that, allows us to do some expansion of the studio, maybe hire a person.
And has a strong tail, so the community actually grows over time instead of shrinks over time.
You know? Yeah. And so that's the really great scenario, which means, like, yeah, we keep working on the game, we do a bunch of updates and just do what we can to keep it going. Then there's the
middle. Yeah. Which is, it does good, but not so good that it's obvious to stick with it.
And it doesn't change our position in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
Right? So we're just kind of on the treadmill.
Yeah. So even though it's like, it's not the worst case scenario, it kind of is, in the sense that
the next move is not obvious.
The next move is not obvious, and it kind of feels like a trap.
Yeah.
Where it's like the game does well enough that we feel like we should definitely keep working on it to do well by our players. But also, by working on it, we might be sort of
signing our own grave at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a bad thing.
Well, it's basically fine. It just doesn't change anything about what we're doing. It doesn't give us any new opportunities.
Yeah.
So we at least want that to happen, though. Because truthfully, it's way better than having to, like, shutter the studio.
Oh, yeah. So it's better than having nothing.
Yeah, we at least want to have it be the case we can continue. So the question is sort of to what degree, and then what that then allows us to do.
Yeah.
So we'll have clarity on that, like, 2-3 months after launch, basically, is when we'll know.
Yeah. Yes. We're also going to be spending a bunch of money on ads for the first time.
Yeah, I'm excited.
In a very strategic and coordinated way to try to make as much noise about Levelhead as possible around the launch. So we'll have more to say about that, but it's going to be interesting.
Yep. Yep.
Also in 2020, I'm going to be giving 2 talks at GDC, like we said. So that's going to be.
Are you going to be getting laser eye surgery? 2020 vision.
I have to get LASIK because it is 2020. Now there's a possibility that I overshoot and end up with 2016 vision.
You might go back in time.
And now all of a sudden, I'm in the past.
That's true, because I had 2015 when I walked out of the.
Yeah, so then now you're in 2015. And then.
Yep.
It seems to, like, weirdly go right to 2020, sort of like immediately, and then just kind of sits there. So I don't know what that's about.
Oh, so like for the first few weeks or something,
yeah, you're just it's like
eagle?
Yeah, you're an eagle, and then you just go to, like, which is still, frankly, basically an eagle, because 2020 is, you know,
ridiculous.
Is where it's supposed to be at.
Yes. So I'm going to – I guess I'll do that.
I'm going to hold you to it.
I am worried about
– I gave you a coupon and everything. So.
I have a coupon.
You got a coupon. You got a coupon, man. Come on.
It's a $400 coupon.
That's a big coupon, man. Seth. Think of the deals.
Think of the savings.
Well, proportionally, it's not huge.
Don't you talk yourself out of
it. It's a pretty big discount.
It's a huge discount.
It's like $2,000 per
Tell you what. I'll first work on shaking this disease I have.
Yeah,
As soon as you're done, you're getting shot in the eyes, just so you know.
Get all the celebratory pain over with.
Get shot in the eye with a laser as a way to party after.
What a good to punch back. Good way to punch back on this sort of nonsense. You know, you were laid low for like 3 weeks,
and then you want to swing back so hard that now
I can see like a hawk. Fuck you, 2019.
You know, I was thinking about the LASIK too, and about how my framing of it was weird, because it's like, oh my God, somebody's going to do this to my eye and do that to my eye and whatever, which sounds terrible, right? But actually, I need to be thinking about it in terms of what I'm going to do, which is I'm going to have an eye drop, and then I'm going to feel nothing.
Well, you also will get an Ativan, so you'll be straight chilling.
I'm going to take some drugs, put in an eye drop, and then I'm just going to lay on a table for 10 minutes.
Yep. And just be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I'm just going to lay on a table for 10 minutes, and then I can see. Somebody else is going to do some other shit, but don't worry about that part.
Also, they're not just someone. They're a trained doctor.
Who's probably done – my guy had done 60,000 of them.
Yeah.
So.
That's like, it's not fair because you get one eye. You get two eyes per person.
I'm sure you probably double counted.
Yeah. Some nonsense.
Yeah, but I think
you can fuck up my other eye.
I think that still counts.
That's fair.
Each eye probably counts as one thing. They do charge you per eye, so
they do. Yeah,
you know, I think that stands to reason. All right, so 2020 is going to be a big year, and we're just going to continue on our DevOps and continuing to overhaul the studio and develop cool tools. It's going to be a good year.
Oh yeah.
All right, now we need to figure out
what we call it.
What are we going to call this year?
So last year was 20 grand teen.
Last year was 20 grand teen.
Before that was 20 great teen.
20 great teen.
Did we have anything for 2017?
No.
I think we started in 2018.
We started in 2018.
Yeah, which is probably good because 2017 would be hard to come up with.
Yeah.
All right. So 2020, we have our community, our members of our community submitted a bunch of stuff through podcast.bscotch.net. So question, we have a lot.
Okay.
Question is, should I just go through them? Just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I think just rattle them off and then we'll just get
and then we'll loop back through.
Right. I think the important note is that this is kind of like, it's like a genie's wish situation as we've experienced now, which is sometimes it's exactly what you want and sometimes it's true, but not what you thought. But not in
the way it's a monkey's paw.
Yeah. So,
yeah, so 2019, we were just like, ugh. We just got to get through this to get this game done. And it turned out we just ended up honing all of our knives and skills.
Which was very painful.
It was very painful. That's true.
Yeah.
We got grinded.
We got grinded.
We did some grinding.
Mm-hmm. And so I think we got to keep that in mind as we make our choice. But yes.
All right.
Rattle them off.
Beaky Bapa Boop suggests the following. 20 aplenty. We don't know what it is, but there's a lot of it.
I don't know. I'm dubious about that.
20 centi. Raking it in. Sent with a C, like a...
No but way. If you're renting, if you're raking in only cents.
Well, you got to do a lot of them.
You got to rake.
You got to rake in
a big rake.
You got to rake in plenty of cents. Mm-hmm. 20 mentee.
Oh.
Learning stuff, teaching stuff.
That's a good one.
20 blendy.
Ooh.
Everything's mixed around. Or maybe just mixing it up or something.
Yep.
20 renty. We don't own it, but we do have it now.
These are fantastic, okay?
20 bendy, we're agile.
Ooh, okay.
As heck.
I'm working on my flexibility, man. It's my personal one for this, this year.
20 zenty, nice and chill. Mm-hmm. Mm. 20 denty, taking a hit but still chugging along.
It's just a surface level dent, you know what I mean?
Just a dent. Just, it'll buff out. It'll buff out.
Right. 20 denty, okay. Yeah.
2010-teen. It might not make sense, but it's going great.
2010-teen.
10-teen, which is just 20.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. All right. So those are the Beaky Bapa Boop suggestions.
Beaky Bapa Boop coming fantastic. In. Coming in fierce.
Coming in hot. All right. Fly Hoppy Axe Rampa suggests 20 ready. Ready to sell more games. Ready for life to improve. Ready for 2020. 20 ready.
Mm-hmm.
New Boppy Slappy Junk.
Slappy Junk suggests
20 representee.
Ooh. Which, are we sending delegates to the UN?
You could do a lot with representee. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you got to just go represent. Mm. You know, represent yourself, represent your people, represent your organization,
your region. Mm-hmm.
Straight repping.
Whatever it is, you got to rep it straight and you got to do a good job. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about who are you? Where are you from?
Give some talks this year.
Yeah. You got to represent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Gabe suggests 20 modus vivendi.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
A manner of living that reflects the person's values and attitudes. It's the year of being true to yourself. Ooh. I think it literally means the way of living.
20
modus vivendi, the way of living. Okay. Or 20 modus operandi. Try to establish some MOs for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
20
like
or
straight into the just Latin
stuff. Or 20 martini, just because, you know, just because
I mean, it's 20
just get drunk.
I like the contrast between those options.
Uh-huh. Yes,
it's either finding your purpose in life or having a martini, because it's one of the others.
Might be both.
Sometimes both.
Right now, I feel like it's both. All right. Next batch of suggestions comes from Jablong Funko Gordy, who says 2020 working plenty. That's just kind of 2019-like, but it's a little more on the nose.
We got to get away from 2019-likes. I'm not having another one of those.
Another one, 2020, skills fermenty. So I think it's about
fermenting?
Or perhaps fermenting your own skills, turning them into sort of a boozy.
Delicious cocktail.
Yeah, intoxicating substance.
Yeah, I love it.
2020, getting trendy. Hey, you know, just get on TikTok. Get on Fortnite.
Did I mention that I got on TikTok the other day? Check it out.
You should have done that. I'm pretty sure it's spyware.
I felt so
it
old.
It is also spyware.
Yeah.
Is it spyware?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Everything's spyware these days.
That's true. Yeah, as if I said that as if that's a unique thing. it's not a unique selling point there, TikTok. Nope. You gotta come up with something else. All right. Also, 2020, no more weekendy. Whoa. So it's just like, fuck you. Just get to work. Just all day. Yeah, all day. 7 days a week.
Cut it out.
24/7, 365. Working.
That's nah. Can't do that one. I'm going to scratch that one right off the list.
All right. Now, the last one, I think Jablong Funko Gordy couldn't come up with a good phrase for it. So he or she just said, 2020 is good vision, which you guys will get a clearer picture of the future of your studio when you release Levelhead.
Oh, I mean, it's very accurate.
It's accurate. Hard to pack in.
2020. The question is, does it have to rhyme?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you have to replace the second 20 with some kind of a, you know, word.
Yeah, because the question is, if you could somehow use that vision concept and roll it into the 20 rhyme.
Now, one that I was thinking of is 20 grunty, getting old. That's just kind of a...
That's probably how you're feeling just getting into it.
State of being.
Yeah, know? Just anytime you stand up, it's...
You just go, ah!
You know, that kind of a stuff.
20 grunty.
20 yeah. grunty, getting old. All right, Quantum Anomaly has our last batch of suggestions. Quantum Anomaly says, 20 plenty is my first choice, but here are a few runner-ups that might deserve an honorable mention. 20 gently. We're recovering from 20 grunty.
Just,
you know... Take it easy.
That's
take,
too
take
real. Slow. That's not aspirational enough, though, to me. Yeah. You know,
it's just gotta, like, let's just survive.
Yeah.
All right. 20 friendly. Just make some friends. Be good.
That's nice. Yeah. These are good, depending on what you're doing this year. It's good to personal motto. So yeah. Sort of all over the place.
We got 20 trendy. So similar.
On trend.
Yep. 20 Emmy. Get that Crash Lands TV show going.
We got to jump. We got to make a transmedia empire.
That one's too specific.
20 Emmy.
Too specific.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's easy to miss.
Yes,
and it's also hard for not just us, but everybody.
It's also hard to reinterpret something that happened as still fitting in with getting an Emmy.
Yeah, because either you got the Emmy or you didn't.
Yeah, too Boolean.
Yeah.
Too Boolean. 20 to Boolean.
20 Boolean. And the last one is 20 Confetti. Celebrate.
Nice.
That's nice.
That's good.
That's a good one.
All right.
I'd like to think that we're going to have a few phases throughout 2020 that hopefully feel like a couple different of these. You know what I mean?
All right. Now, I'm just going to read right back through them, and you guys seize upon your top.
Well, the one that we had proposed previously was 20 plenty.
20 plenty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where we were starting this whole sort of thought process for. And I think the nice thing about 20 plenty is it's optimistic.
Yes.
But it also says we had enough.
But you got to
2019.
You got to think about this in monkey's paw terms, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because plenty of what?
Yeah.
20 plenty specifically of good things.
Yeah. Because it could be 20 plenty of garbage. Like plenty of terrible things are going to happen in 2020.
Well, the main problem with 20 plenty is it's hard to have a good tagline to go along with it. Like, I like 20 plenty as like the number, but I don't know what phrase.
What do you mean? Did 20 grindteen have a phrase?
Actually, 20 grindteen didn't. Mm-hmm. That's true.
I do like 20 blendy, mm-hmm. which is mix it up. Everything's mixing around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to shake it up, whatever it is, but you got to mix things.
Yeah.
20 blendy. Yeah.
I like
good.
I like 20 denty.
20 denty.
Because you're taking
a hit and carry it on.
The other thing about 20 denty is because decadent is like extravagance, mm-hmm. everything is great. And that's only 10.
It's also a 10-pronged spear.
Yes. But it's 10. Yeah. We got 20 dents. This is double decadence. Double decadence.
Mm, okay.
20.
But I feel like that's overly cautious because you're trying to hedge against the monkey paw
that's true.
Problem.
Hedge against the monkey paw.
You're trying to be like, we're just going to own that we're going to get some dents.
Well, that is the nice thing about 20 denty, right? Because if it's about getting dented, but that's like
fine.
A dent is fine.
A dent
actually,
is fine.
Right? You can recover from this. Mm-hmm.
And if the positive interpretation is this double decadence situation, I mean, that's pretty dope.
Double decker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 20 mm-hmm. denty.
20. All right. So our original was 20 plenty, which also was suggested by two of our mm-hmm. folks.
I still think it's a very good one.
20 plenty, 20 blendy, 20 denty. Okay.
Let's go through a few of the other ones.
A few of the other ones.
Pop out.
20 ready. Just getting ready mm-hmm. for all kinds of stuff.
Doesn't quite rhyme enough. Need a little more rhyme.
20 ready
mm-hmm.
instead of 2020.
Yeah.
Right. We have also got 20 modus vivendi,
mm-hmm.
which is maybe a little too long, but I like the sentiment.
I love the Latin vibe, but yeah. It makes it feel Hogwartsian, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's probably maybe 20 friendly. Because it depends here if you want to like, if you want to flip it over into sort of like how you're living your life versus something more studio specific.
Right.
Is it just getting out there and making friends? Mm-hmm. That's a good goal for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And it does speak both to our studio shift of way of thinking about like our business partners, getting out there, making
just
friends.
Just schmooze them.
Yeah, schmooze.
Year of the schmooze.
Which 20 martini also goes
that
along.
Certainly
goes
does.
Along
20 with. Friendly. Year of the schmooze.
Mm-hmm.
20 friendly. it's not bad.
All right.
I think 20 Denti is too hedged, in my opinion.
Yeah. 20, all right. 20 Denti's out. Yeah, I love it, but it's too much.
Yeah.
You know, there's kind of a problem with this whole decade is they all start out with 2020, right? Because then we have 2021.
We have 2022, whatever.
Yeah. So having like – having a word replacement strategy –
for the 20?
For all of the for all of the 20s? Because well, like, 20 we'll have to, just isn't a good one for word replacement.
We'll have to
and
fudge
we do it,
it
for all
bit.
Of them.
We'll have to fudge it a little.
The good thing is we only have to do it once a year.
We're going to resource it. So it's all good.
What does it leave us with?
All right. So it leaves us with 20 plenty, 20 blendy, 20 friendly.
Mm.
Plenty, blendy, or friendly.
I agree that 20 plenty has the monkey paw problem. We don't know what we're going to get plenty of.
Mm-hmm. But it works for both because you often say, I've had plenty. You know, it's like, I've had enough, you know?
So, which is bad.
Which is often. Bad. But I mean, as in it works in both directions.
Coming off of 2019.
Coming off of 2019, we're like, oh, we have plenty of that.
We've had plenty.
Now we're hoping for a bountiful 2020, you know? Mm-hmm. So
Maybe it's all about, it's not just the name of the year, but also the tagline that comes along with it.
Yeah.
You know? That's what defines.
Oh, that helps rein in the monkey paw.
That helps you contain the monkey paw.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's like having a very long specific wish for a dream,
exactly, which you always have to
got to do. They're like a program, right? So you gotta be real careful what you put in there, how nonspecific.
It'll do exactly what you tell it.
Yeah, which is bad.
I mean, and that's a sort of 20 Denti if we get the right tagline, because it's like 20 Denti. Took some hits, but we're still rolling.
But I think
it's like it's got an optimistic,
but it, no, it does recovery. Not, it suggests we hit. We're taking a bunch of hits this year.
We're not going to take any hits.
Not into that.
20 reinforced steel rolled tungsten carbide plates.
Yep,
that's the name of this year. We're not taking any dents, and we're so heavy. We also are not rolling anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2020.
20 taking no shitty.
that. 20 not taking shit from nobody.
You just put 20 on teen. The front of
wait, no, it's not teen anymore. It's just 2020.
Yeah. You know, we're not falling back to the teens.
No. All right. I want to put my lot in for 20 blendy.
Okay. What's your lot?
That's 20 blendy.
Why?
Because I think it speaks to getting out of a rut. It speaks to
getting out of your comfort zone.
Getting out of your comfort zone, trying new things, making sure that you're always trying to take a fresh perspective on stuff, right? It's 20 blendy. You know, you don't want to just have, you know, a raw egg. You want to put that into a smoothie, right?
Uh-huh.
Because then it's going to add protein and you're not going to taste it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
What about like the YouTube guy who blends everything? Where I think you're talking about this before we left, where he takes off the lid and he's like, no, don't breathe
now. This is action figure gas. Yeah. Don't breathe this. Yeah. I blended an action figure and vaporized
That's pretty good advice.
Because you don't want it to be 20 blendy, don't breathe this. Tagline.
Well, but I mean, that does speak to the dark side of blending, which is if you blend.
There's some risk.
You blend too aggressively. Mm-hmm. You will vaporize solids, and then if you breathe them, you know,
or too inappropriately, just mix things together that really shouldn't have. But the other thing is that,
like one time, I made coffee and oatmeal.
Oh, you did. Do not blend those.
Yeah. Don't blend those.
But
now blending has.
But now you know. But now you know, and I think the thing is that there's so many things that blending, you don't know until you have blended them that they were actually amazing together.
Yes. Blending is about learning.
It's about being worth the risk.
Creativity is about taking oatmeal and coffee. Mixing them together.
I mean, you gotta try it.
You gotta try it.
Yeah, 20 blendy.
You gotta try it. 20 blendy. Just try it.
Just try it.
Mix it up. Give it a shot.
All right, we're down to 20 blendy in 2020, it sounds like, or 20 plenty, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think 20 plenty is the best just verbal thing.
Yep.
Gonna have a lot of stuff. And,
yeah, it tries to be as optimistic as possible, yeah. Which I did.
20 plenty. We're gonna have plenty of players, plenty of money.
It's plenty of. Yeah, it's just not interesting, though. It sounds the best verbally.
It's a wish for an outcome versus a way of.
Versus a mood.
Yeah, versus a way of approaching.
You know, they say everybody has the same goals. You know, winners and losers both.
It's all about your approach.
It's all about the system.
20 plenty. Yeah, 20 plenty speaks to what we want to happen later, not about what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Correct. But 20 great team is really great, but they didn't have anything to do with it. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah, but we shouldn't put – you don't throw good money after bad. You know?
But the thing about 20 great team was it was a way of looking at the world.
That's true. You
know? It's like, hey, this is great. Everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
This is 20 great team. And actually, and if you remember our tagline for 2013, it was, who gives a fuck?
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, you know, it did have a tagline.
But you know what? That was a vibe. Who gives a fuck? Because it's 2013. Just let it. You let it roll off.
It's fine. We had a good time.
Yeah.
20 Blendy is what it sounds like.
20 Blendy?
20 Blendy. You got to try it.
20 Blendy. Just try it. Mix it up.
Mix it up.
All right. 20 Blendy.
Mix it up. Are you good? Was the who gives a fuck part of the...
20 Blendy, mix it up because who gives a fuck?
Done and done. Let us ring in the 2020s.
So is every year going to have who gives a fuck as a portion of the tagline?
I
feel like it should.
I think that's what we missed last time.
It seemed to work really effectively in 2018.
Yeah, 20 grind team.
But that literally was the whole tagline in 2018.
20 grind team, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. But that's also when we started doing this. So it's that, like, we didn't need to add any extra sauce to it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now it can still be the tagline. We just need some more tagline.
That's true.
20 Blendy. Mix it up.
Because who gives? Let's go. I'm excited. This year's going to be good.
Well, I think that reigns in the new year. So everybody, this episode is coming out on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Yep. So you can think about this year, what are you going to do?
Wait, who proposed 20 Blendy?
That was a Beaky Bopper Boop.
Nailed it.
Ringing in the new year with the entire year's slogan.
You already got that. Starting your year strong.
So think about, you know, you got to inject chaos into your life. You got to try new things. Get out there. Mix it up. It's 20 Blendy.
Mm-hmm. Get creative. Get weird.
Get weird. Put some coffee in your oatmeal. It's not going to be good.
The thing is, you might like it.
Yeah,
Seth didn't.
I didn't. It was terrible.
But you might like it.
You might like it. Some people like pineapple on their pizza and you know,
whatever. Or raisins in their cookies.
Yeah. And somebody had to do that first. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to mix it up.
Yeah.
So
mix it up this year. Find something to do. Get out of your comfort zone.
Make new things.
That's right. 20 Blend it. I like it. I feel good. All right. Well, we'd like to thank our producers, Fat Bard and Jen Coster, for putting the podcast together. And thanks to our community moderators who keep our Discord running. To get more involved in the Butterscotch community, just go to podcast.bscotch.net. We have links to everything.
All of it.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
And next year.
No, it's already next year.
All right.
But we'll see you in 20 Blendy.
20 Blendy. Mix it up.
Goodbye.
Bye.